This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Drilled to left field. There it goes. See ya. A three-run home run for Judge. And the Yankees come back. And they lead this one 8-6.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Comes right up off the screen. Oh, Abram rips out and it's over. The Utah Jazz hold on. Brandon Ingram missed it. The NBA is back, and it's the Jazz putting one in the win column.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Here's James, gets up a runner, thought he was fouled, no contact, followed it up and put it in. Wow. And a timeout called by the Clippers. James was looking for contact and able to follow it up and score.
I think he felt he got hit, and that's why he threw it up to the rim.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you. Beautiful Friday afternoon.
What is happening?
Oh, you know, a whole lot.
Just hanging out. Blazer game coming up.
I know. It's finally back.
It is here, baby.
We
it's
finally
here.
Get to see him trot out there on a court in a game that matters. I got super excited for that Indiana matchup. And after the first quarter, they started playing just all scrubs and not caring. So I quickly lost interest. Didn't watch too much of the Toronto matchup. Finally got a game that counts.
It's like the first week of spring training, I feel like, every year. I'm always so excited that it's back. And then you tune in, you watch a little bit of it, you check out how your team looks, and you realize this is not.
Right.
I got maybe 8 innings in me, and that's about it. Then I'm going to, you know, I'll check a box score here and there, but why don't you go ahead and call me when the actual season starts? And based off of last night and then leading into today, Portland couldn't have had a better start to their to the beginning of the NBA season.
It's very true. Now, I do fall victim to the NFL in this regard almost on a yearly basis. Every time the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, you watch a little bit of it every year.
And the preseason starts, you're like, I'm jacked to have football.
Football's back, baby.
And then you watch about a minute and a half of preseason NFL football and you go, oh, well, none of the starters that I like watching are playing. They're all on the sidelines. Pads are off. And then you forget about the NFL preseason for about two to three weeks.
Yeah, basically. You maybe watch a little bit of week three when the starters are back in the lineup.
Maybe.
And then you're a little bit here and there just to see maybe a dry run. And then you're like, you know what? Call me in week one. I will say, with all the things that Portland went through, like for their restart, they have to be one of the more interesting teams to watch. Because like you turn on last night, there's questions. No Lou Williams, no Montrezl Harrell, right? Avery Bradley's out. So you're wondering how those lineup rotations will look for the Lakers and Clippers. How many minutes will Zion play? Portland is infusing two guys that we haven't seen all year, essentially. Nurkic, we didn't see all year. Collins, we saw for what, two games, maybe three at the beginning of the year. And they both played limited minutes in their practice games. I was like, dude, this is a whole new lineup. So I think you make an argument they're the most interesting team to watch almost across the NBA of just how do those two guys fit back in.
Well, we had another guy jump on the bandwagon today.
Who else is picking them to win? Let's go.
Swags, favorite athlete of all time, Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas picked
him. He did an interview on NBA TV or NBA radio or whatever it is on Sirius XM. And he was asked, hey, who's the team you're looking at? He says Portland is the most interesting team in the bubble. And he kind of just went the same lines that all the other pundits that have picked him said. With Dame, you never know. And that's a bad matchup. Nobody wants that. And I'm like, okay. I hope all these people end up being right and not
did
watching us get swept.
Anybody notice the Clippers could not guard LeBron James down the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter when they needed to stop
him? Well, we got Skinny Melo, so I'm not really concerned about LeBron James.
Skinny Melo locked him up.
You know, supposedly with Paul George and with Kawhi Leonard, they could not guard LeBron James in the last 4 minutes.
Well, they're not an all-time great like Carmelo Anthony.
Exactly.
Gold medalist, national champion as a freshman.
We got Hoodie Mello, Olympic Mello, Skinny Mello.
We have Olympic Mello.
Boom.
We always told you we wanted Mello here because we would get Olympic Mello, and everybody laughed at us.
Who's on the team now, baby?
We got vegan Olympic Mello. Shedding the LBs, baby.
I ended up watching.
Are we going to get severely disappointed? I hope we don't, but with every day that passes by leading into their tip-off of the restart, I feel like I see a headline from somebody else. The Blazers are the pick. And I'm like, God, they better not go 2-6.
I don't think that's a widespread opinion in the fan base, though. I think there are believers in the fan base, but I think if you polled most fans, are like, dude, just play good ball. Maybe you get to the playoffs. I mean, we're not expecting a championship
here. I think they're going to get into that play-in situation.
Sure? I'm pretty sure about
that. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
And we'll see. I mean, we'll see what Memphis looks like here against them today. But
yeah, because you only played them once.
Yeah, you played them once. You lost by 7 on the road. Now, it was in February, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Blazers have a completely different starting lineup and rotation now, so who knows?
Now, I'll go back to what you just said, because you're right. There are some teams that are having to adjust to bubble basketball without guys. Clippers last night, 2 pretty valuable pieces, right? They didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the whole narrative, well, these 2 guys weren't there, and the Lakers barely beat them, so that means the Clippers will win the title. Pump the brakes. Just because those 2 weren't there does not mean that you just insert 15 to 30 points more in the next matchup. You have to take into account when those 2 aren't there, how many guys are getting shots that normally won't shoot,
right?
Jamichael Green was hitting some threes last night. I know he's a part of the rotation, but is he going to shoot those threes when Lou Will's out? So I don't always like that argument. I think the benefit for Portland, it's more difficult to play without regular contributors. I think it's easier to just get back to the group that you are familiar with. You know, Nurk and Collins may have been on minute restrictions in their scrimmage games. They played with them almost all of last year. Zach played with them all the way through to the end of their run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be difficult. I think both those guys, and I thought you saw that against Indiana in that first quarter, they're going to get out there, and Zach will probably come off the bench. I don't think it's going to be all that difficult for them to adjust to having them back. I think it's going to be more like I did 4 solo shows.
Sure.
You jump back in the studio, and it's almost as if you never left. I know what the comfort is. I know what you're going to do. You know what I'm going to do. I think that's what they're dealing with, and that's a positive for them.
I think the only 2 guys that it really applies to are Whiteside and Melo, because obviously not being on the team last year, Melo wasn't around at the beginning of the season to practice a lot with Collins before he got hurt. He came into the fold a little bit later. And this, if this Whiteside-Nurkic thing ends up being an experiment where they try and go 2 towers, I think that will take a little time to get used to. But Dame, CJ, they're obviously well aware of them, and Stotts coaching them, knows their strengths and their weaknesses. It's just fun, though, and we kind of highlighted this yesterday, and we had a listener to text in and reminded me about it. Like, dude, you're jumping right into the fire today. This is such a pivotal game for Portland.
This is it's kind of your, like, mini championship.
You
got to
go. I think most people are basically saying you got to go basically 6-2 if you want a chance at this. The schedule's very difficult. Memphis is one of the easier teams on your schedule, and you're coming on the heels of New Orleans losing their opener last night, which is a whole different conversation we can get into. It's just fun to jump right in. You never really get that at the start of a season where it's game 1 of 82 or game 1 after an all-star break. Like, this is a make-or-break game for them. By the end of the show or going into the weekend, we're going to have a different feeling potentially about their chances.
Well, we have one of our P1s that's able to he tweets from time to time to me. He's a Beaver fan, and he made a good point. He tweeted the Blazer games missed at the end of the year, about 16 of them. Only 7 opponents at that point had winning records. The winning percentage of those 16 games is 481. If you remove the winners, the other 9-game winning percentages were 358. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of bad winnable games on your schedule. You go to the restart, the winning percentage combined of the teams you play in the 8 games is 600. So you went from having barely over 500 type schedule to end your year and make that run.
Sure.
Versus now the restart. And I know you got Nurk and Collins back. That's great. But your percentage there of teams you're facing is it went up substantially.
I think everybody in a situation like this can gripe about something, right? Was it why am I blanking on his name for Memphis, their guard?
John Morant
came out and said that the 8-9 play-in situation was unfair to them.
Well, it is when you get to 4 games.
Right, it is. So that's the thing. So Memphis has a gripe about that and saying, dude, we beat Portland a couple times this year. We had the 3.5 game lead on the 8 seed. Why do we then have to go beat them again if we stay on top of the standings? Portland has a gripe and saying, hey, maybe the schedule is a little bit easier. Now it's drastically more difficult. Everybody's going to have a complaint. You just got to go out and take care of business.
All right. Well, it's a busy show today. I'm sure it's going to fly right by. Let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. First hour, we're going to be pretty blazer heavy here as they restart their season, their journey to the 8 seed with their 8 games remaining, starting against Memphis today at 1 o'clock. So we'll talk about that. What are you hoping? Like, what is your expectation for Portland? Is there a way they can disappoint you? Is there really only a way that they can surprise you in a good way? I'm really curious how some of our listeners who are Blazer fans, how are you viewing this 8-game restart? Mike Richmond of NBC Sports Northwest will join us at 12:30 for the Daily Ticker. It's about a half hour before tip. We'll see what he thinks Portland can do. The favorite, the big favorite. And speaking of that, of everybody kind of jumping on the bandwagon, Christian Cipollini is a sports trader for BetMGM. You may have heard of them. They're also doing a partnership coming up with Spirit Mountain. We're not going to dive into that element of it. He is just a sports trader. Yeah. But we're going to dive into the how sexy is Portland as a pick for people. Talk about some of those odds. Zion Williamson barely played yesterday. Shout out the NBA creating a bubble for 22 teams, basically just for Zion. And then the very first game he plays in, we didn't even really get to see him.
He also dominated basically when he was on the floor as well. He played really well.
And I was kind of pissed last night. And I think basketball fan has a right to be. They have totally misled us in terms of where he is right now. They made it act like he was coming off this just huge injury and couldn't move. I didn't like what happened. We'll give you a Pac-12 update. Today they're expected at about 1 o'clock to give us the finalization or walk through what they're planning to do for conference only. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that today. We got crunch time. We got Bryson DeChambeau says he wants to live to 130 to 140.
But the fire ants might keep him from doing that.
Yeah, he's terrified of those fire ants. Antonio Brown suspended 8 games. We got some NFL nuggets. We got Sprague in line to get to as well. Going to be a very busy show, my man. All right. Well, let's start. We'll continue with Blazer talk. I really want people to chime in here. 503-250-1080. Do you have an expectation for Portland? What are we expecting in their 8 games? They get it going in about 45 minutes. We'll start with Blazers talk next. Dirt and Sprague, happy to be here with you on a beautiful Friday on radio.com and Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague on this Friday afternoon. Blazers tipping off at 1 o'clock. And look, there's a lot of talk about Blazers getting the 8 seed, getting to that 9 seed so they can play for it. How will they do with their 8-game schedule against almost all playoff teams? Damian Lillard. And we know what he is capable of as a leader. You know, I'll give you what I'm most interested in today.
Okay, what do you got?
They were the fourth worst team defense in the NBA when they stopped playing. The fourth worst. You're getting Yusuf Nurkic back and Zach Collins. Now, Ariza's not in the bubble. He was one of your valuable defenders that you had on your roster, and I think he had kind of dipped off a little bit. He's getting up in the age ladder a bit.
Yeah.
But we've seen so many times before in the very brief, short history of Yusuf Nurkic in a Blazer uniform that when he arrives and he plays, they go from being one of the worst to then a fringe top 10 type defense. So I think that's what I'm most looking forward to. They did lose their one matchup against Memphis this year. It was about a few weeks prior to the shutdown. I think it was like 111-104.
Mm-hmm. I think it was right before the All-Star break, if I'm not mistaken.
Memphis didn't even get like stellar performances out of some of their younger guys. Brandon Clark, I think, led the way off the bench. Ja Morant had an okay game. I remember Jaren Jackson not doing a whole lot, but they beat Portland right before the shutdown. So you only have one matchup here. But I think defense, as boring as it can be, I'm most looking forward to seeing how much better they improve defensively, even if it's a one-game sample size, because you were one of the league's worst prior to that shutdown.
Yeah, that's when you add Nurkic and Collins back into the mix, you should be better on that end of the floor. We know that Dame and CJ can score. I think you're going to have a better offense because Nurkic provides a little more scoring punch in my mind than Hassan Whiteside does. And Zach Collins, no matter how you feel about him, does have the capability of spacing the floor out a little bit. You can use him in pick and roll situations if you want. I think the main thing I'm looking forward to, they need to be better defensively if they want to have a chance to make the playoffs. So that is key. It's just I want to see how the rotations are going to work and how you're going to pair these guys together. I mean, it looks like Nurkic and Collins are going to be back in the starting lineup. You're moving Melo to the small forward.
Oh, you think it's going to be Collins?
I do. I don't know why you wouldn't start Zach Collins.
I could be wrong, so I'll give you this. It feels like they want Whiteside Nurkic, not Nurkic Collins.
And I'm not a huge fan of that. I depending on the matchup, obviously, you could go against maybe a team that's a little bit slower, more half-court style, and you want to go with two big seven-foot centers. Okay.
This is a young and athletic team they're taking on.
I'll experience that. Exactly. Memphis is not that case. I want guys that can get up and run a little bit. Melo concerns me playing the three just because I know he's lost weight. I'm just not quite sure where his lateral quickness is at because it wasn't great prior to the NBA shutdown. But he just has more, and Terry Stotts, he just has more things to work with now and tinker with, and you have the ability. If you want, as you're mentioning, maybe you play Nurkic and Whiteside alongside each other. I think Collins and Whiteside could be a very good defensive pairings at the four and the five. And then if Melo proves to be a defensive liability at the three, do you have somebody that can fill that role for you, maybe late in the game if you need stops? Nasir Little is a young guy. Gary Trent Jr., do you play him? We've heard some rumblings. I think Jason Quick said it earlier this week. He doesn't think the rotation is going to be deeper than seven, maybe eight
guys.
I think
they're going eight max.
You're going super minimal rotations. Maybe Anfernee Simons gets a couple of minutes. Maybe Nasir Little gets a couple of minutes. But tight rotations, so figuring out who works best together, I think it's going to be interesting.
I think, unfortunately, for some of the younger players, it's I think Terry may toy with a couple of the younger guys the first two or three games max, and then he'll just really nail down what he wants the rotation to be. But I that's kind of what I was thinking too. This is playoff mode.
This is it.
Right? You only have eight games while you're in Orlando. You're either going to get it or you're not. This is not the time, because you as a franchise, they have come out and said so many times, they want the playoff. They don't want to miss the playoff. So you're in playoff mode now. You don't have time to see what Nasir Little can do, right? You don't know if you can fully trust Mario Hezonja. What about Anfernee Simons? He had a great last scrimmage, but prior to that, wasn't really doing a whole lot. So that's really what it's going to come down to, is which of those three is maybe going to make that cut to be a rotational player, and the other two basically stuck to the bench unless there's really grave foul trouble.
Right. Somebody's in trouble, or you're up big or down big late in the game. They'll end up getting minutes.
I don't want Hezonja.
No.
But let me get it out there now in case he has a grade eight games.
No,
for
it.
The record, I'm totally against it. He's too inconsistent.
Yeah.
Some games you even forget he's on the court and you go, God, he's just taking a spot. Yeah. I don't want Hezonja. So if it's between Simons and Nasir Little, sure, let him work that out. I'd lean that they're going to go Simons for the backup guard role more so than they would Nasir, but we'll see. I don't know what that rotation's going to be.
Yeah, when you're two going into a situation where you're down 3.5 on the 8 seed and you're tied with New Orleans, a team that a lot of people were picking because of their schedule and the way it laid out, you were going to need some things to go your way and some breaks to happen. And they caught a huge one last night. New Orleans blowing a 16-point lead all of a sudden you're a half game up on them in the standings. You get a chance to play the team that you're trailing today in the standings. You win today. You're a game up on New Orleans. You're only 2.5 games back on Memphis. And you look at the upcoming weekend, New Orleans takes on the Clippers tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I think, or noon, something like that on ESPN. That's going to be a tough game. They're going to be angry coming off that loss. So all of a sudden they could maybe drop their first two, and then their next game is Monday against Memphis. So you're going to get a positive out of that game either way. One of those teams is going to lose, and that's going to be a benefit for you. Portland, if they're able to win, you never want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but if they're able to win today against Memphis again, you pick up that game on them. You got a chance if you can pull off an upset against Boston where you can have breathing room against New Orleans, who, again, their schedule is drastically easier than yours the final six games, and then maybe you're flirting with chasing down an 8 seed and not having to win those two games. Like this weekend, it's amazing how quickly this thing's going
to
escalate.
Well, and is great as it was for Portland to get the start last night of New Orleans blowing that lead and Utah beating them, keep in mind, for those who may have forgot, New Orleans' toughest game was probably last night. Mm-hmm. Now they play kind of a more cupcake-ish.
Yeah, other than the Clippers. But again, the Clippers could be a load-managing team. Nobody knows what they're going to look like when they play.
But the thing I would add to that is we can, and I said this a few weeks back, we were talking about schedules. I'll reiterate, we can talk about scheduling all we want. We have no clue if half the Blazer schedule is going to be playoff teams that don't care about all 8 games. So maybe you catch some of these teams at the right day. And then for New Orleans, I mean, I think you saw evidence of a young team last night, right? They have some vet guys, some Jrue Holiday, a J.J. Redick, Derek Favors.
Sure.
They've got vets that have been around. They know what it takes to win. But when you're primarily running through younger players, last night is an example that it's not a slam dunk that your schedule is quote unquote easy and a bunch of cupcakes. Young players from time to time have lapses. They don't make good decisions. You get stuck in crunch time, big moments. You're not as familiar with it. So I think New Orleans to keep in mind with that, because they're obviously the other team chasing with Portland. They may have lost last night and blown a lead. I'm not so convinced that their next few games are just wins. They're a young team who's going to make mistakes. So for all we know, this quote-unquote easy schedule they have, they could be 4-4. And the benefit for Portland is you got Damian Lillard as your guy. So all your tough games, you may take on some of those tough teams who don't care about that game, paired with Damian Lillard knowing how vital every game is. There's a reason Portland fan, I think, feels optimistic they can get into the dance.
Yeah, my mood has changed in the last 24 hours. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought they had a chance to make the playoffs and give it a run. But with New Orleans blowing the lead and treating Zion the way that they're treating him with kid gloves.
God, it sucks.
I don't know why that would change. Why would that just be a yesterday thing and then all of a sudden Saturday they're going to play him 35 minutes?
They said there were no minutes restrictions and then suddenly he's like 8 minutes for the whole game.
But yeah, he played like 6 minutes in the first half. And
ridiculous.
I think he had 9 points and was like 4-4 from the floor. If they're going to treat him with kid gloves like that, I think that ups Portland's chances a lot. And the one guy I'll go back to, and I hate to sound like a broken record on him over the last handful of years, because he is, people get either agree with you or they think you're crazy when you bring him up. The one guy that I am expecting the most out of over these next 8 games is Zach Collins. Like this, I don't want to.
I thought you were going CJ.
No. That story's done for me. I know what CJ is. No, he's not a great defender. But Collins has the chance to be the missing link that Portland needs. And I'm not coming down on either side of that argument that he is or isn't yet. But you're fresh. Your shoulder's healthy. He can shoot. He can play defense. He can space. He can do everything that Portland needs in a big. Not to mention the fact that he's young. He's still on a cheap deal. And when it comes time to re-up him, you're not going to have to sign him to an astronomical contract because he hasn't really lived up to the expectations yet. He is pivotal over these next 8 games for Portland.
By the way, I just put a poll question up for the last 40 minutes of the 12 o'clock hour just to get a quick read. I don't expect like a million votes on this. Who would you rather see start? Collins, Nurkic, Whiteside. It's pretty over. I mean, we're only like 60 votes in. I posted this thing just a couple minutes ago. It's pretty one-sided. It is Collins, Nurkic.
It's got to be, man.
Because the thing with Whiteside, everybody is going into the, you probably can get him on the cheap, right? He's not going to get that same contract ever again that he got with Miami. And I know he puts up, he's 16-14. We kind of know here in Portland now those are hollow stats from time to time.
Sure.
I would rather them invest and give a real glimpse of what you are next year. And
yes,
what you are next year is Collins and Nurkic. But Terry... Terry likes that idea of Whiteside and Nurkic paired together with Zach coming off the bench. All right, we'll continue Blazer talk with Mike Richmond, NBC Sports Northwest. What is he expecting? What does he think Portland's going to do in the bubble as they start at 1 o'clock today against the Memphis Grizzlies? Mike Richmond joins us next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Mike Richmond's been covering the Trailblazers for quite some time, host of the Locked On Blazers podcast. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Mike G. Rich. They're about to tip off the season here in 30 minutes, the NBA restart in the bubble, Portland and Memphis. Richmond, we were just talking about what do you think Portland should do, not what they will do. What do you think they should do? Should they start Zach with Nurk, or should you put Zach on the bench and start Nurk with Whiteside?
You start Zach and Nurk. I don't think it's much of a debate. You start your best center, and then you start your player that fits next best to him. And Hassan Whiteside makes a bunch of money and started every game for him and was perfectly okay, but you need to be your best, and that's their best group.
Yeah, you got an eight-game playoff run here. I'm with you 100%. On follow-up on that, how many minutes per game do you expect Nurkic and Whiteside to play on average? Because it sounds like they're going to go with a small rotation. How many minutes a game do you think they'll play, and how do you think that when they do play together will work?
I think not many, like 8 or 9. I think it'll be short spurts. I think it'll depend a little bit on who they play against. I think against maybe a team like Memphis, who stays like traditionally big, even though they have some shooters who play at the four, it works okay. But in general, I think you saw some of the issues with it in those scrimmage games. Like, I think mostly the scrimmage games are meaningless, so I don't want to read too much into them. But those dudes are centers, and it's tough for them to chase guys around on the perimeter. It's tough for them to remember to run to the three-point line in transition. It has real issues. If you could play two centers together, teams would do it. You know, plenty of teams have 2 7-footers.
Yeah, we haven't seen that quite some time. It's give it to Portland to bring it back and go old school a little bit with that. Mike Richmond is our guest here, covers the Portland Trail Blazers, Locked On Blazers podcast. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Mike G. Rich. You know, the other thing I was thinking about is the contributions from the young guys, because we know Dame's going to go out there and what he's capable of doing. We know what CJ is capable of doing. What do you think Stotts is thinking on the young guys? Do you think he's going to cut the rotation and keep guys like Nazir Little, maybe even Simons on the bench for an extended period of time and just roll with like a 6-7 man type situation? What do you expect from Terry Stotts with the younger players?
I think the 7 is locked in. The starters I mentioned, plus Hassan Whiteside and Gary Trent Jr. off the bench. I think that's, you can lock it in. Those dudes are going to play 25-plus minutes a night, some of them much more than that. I think Anthony Simons is number 8, so I think he plays each night, but probably not a ton. And then the question is, how deep does Terry go from there? I don't think Nazir Little plays very much. I think Anthony Simons is going to be on a really limited rotation. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think for now, Hazonia is number 8. And they really won't go much deeper than that.
We opened the show today asking kind of what fans are expecting and how they think these 8 games will go, and it is all over the map, as you can imagine. Some people saying 0-8, 2-6. Other people saying they're going to go 7-1 and no problem, get that 8 seed and make a run in the playoffs. What are your expectations for Portland over these 8 games?
I'd say 24-0 and a championship parade October 3rd down Broadway, baby.
Now, hold on. I like the prediction, but you just crushed us because this is the worst year you can win a championship. We can't even go to a parade right now.
That's true.
You can do whatever you want, okay? If the Blazers win the championship, there are no more rules. It'll be you know, phase 6 or whatever. We'll be partying.
phase 6.
I think they have a chance. They have a really good chance to make the playoffs because they have the best player of any of the teams that are vying to make the playoffs. When you're in a tournament like this, your top talent matters. There is no one who is chasing the 8th seed who is a better basketball player than Damian Lillard, and the Blazers' chances are tied very strongly to him being at his absolute best.
What do you think of all the love they're getting? Because it's not just Charles Barkley doing a funny interview anymore. I mean, Richmond, I've counted like 4 or 5 type guys that are national voices that are Isaiah Thomas, the latest one today on NBA radio.
I saw that.
And look, maybe they're right, but what do you make of them being like the sexiest of picks in the NBA bubble?
I mean, they are that, right? Like, if you're saying who could be a fun team that's out of the dance right now, it's them, and it's them for a reason. Nurk and Zach improved them a lot. Damian Lillard, like I just said, is the best player in the chase. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that they're the pick. But also, like, I watched the Lakers play last night. That team is really freaking good. If the Blazers are going to be not only make the playoffs but be a nuisance to a team, we're talking about a championship-level team that they'd have to beat. And that seems to me like a big ask.
Yeah, especially with a fresh LeBron having 4 months off. He looked really good last night, especially late in that game. But what did you make of Nurkic in the three games back? I mean, first chance we got to watch him. He was expected to return. The league shuts down, plays limited minutes. Just what did you think of what you saw from Nurkic in those three scrimmage games?
Yeah, I mean, shooting percentages aside, he looked awesome. He looked like old Nurk. I believe he called himself Double Beast. I will not be using that one, but he looked very good. The things he does, they miss so much. A big guy who can pass, a big guy who loves to set a powerful screen and a dribble handoff. Someone who, he just has so many skills that they missed. And, you know, I think before he got hurt, I kept saying that he's one of the 30 best players in the league. And I don't know if he's all the way back there, but he looks darn close. And they're really going to be happy to have him.
Mike Richmond is our guest here. Covered the Blazers for a long time now. At Mike G. Rich on Twitter. Give him a follow. He's got a great podcast as well, the Locked On Blazer Network podcast. Always looking for questions every Monday. So shoot him a question and he'll address it on the pod. It just came out in the middle of our interview, by the way. The starters are Lillard, McCollum, Melo, Collins, and Nurkic. So Terry Stotts heard what you said and he said, damn, Richmond says I have to start Zach. I can't go Whiteside here.
I mean, Terry told us that. Terry let it slip. He usually is real strong. He's real tight with it. Mm-hmm. But he kind of let it slip like a month ago. So we knew.
Where would you pick them if they could get the 8 seed against the Lakers? Do you think they could push them? I know that matchup with no Avery Bradley, that's what people point to, but do you really look at what they are, despite their record, and see the Lakers and say, yeah, that could go 7 games, and at that point, it's a coin flip?
I probably don't go that far, and one of the reasons I think is home court advantage, and not because the Lakers won't have home court advantage, but because if you're trying to pull an upset and you're a team like the Blazers, getting a team on the ropes and bringing them into Moda Center is a real specific advantage. And now you've kind of wiped that out. You don't have that sort of natural, we're finally with our home fans and backs against the wall underdog thing. You just have, you know, they change the background in the arena to have your Zoom fans up there or whatever the hell it is. So I think it's sort of raw talent is going to be what wins. And the Lakers are just really good. So I think 6 games is pretty reasonable, like a big push. And that's not a knock. That's just they put themselves in a position where they have to play the best team in the NBA, and they do it right away.
Yeah, people also joked last night that the Pelicans couldn't quite fill out their Zoom fan section. Also, Chris Bosh apparently was a Zoom fan last night. I saw that picture.
Kerry Kittles was too, and his video kept cutting out.
Yeah, come on, Kerry. what do you expect from Skinny Melo? How is that going to work out?
I don't know. I expect him to eat healthy and talk like an old head. I think it's an interesting experiment. I don't think it's going to be super detrimental on most nights, but there are going to be some nights like where he has to guard an elite small forward, like say Sunday against the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a big challenge. I kind of think it's okay. I'm kind of drinking the Kool-Aid as much as I ever have in my 6 years around the team. I'm officially drinking it. So I kind of think it won't be a huge, huge deal on most nights. But he's 36 and he hasn't been a good small forward for 7 seasons. So there's certainly when it doesn't work, it'll be obvious it doesn't work.
You just made my co-host snort on air. That was great.
We got Skinny Melo, baby. He's Olympic Melo. He's Hoodie Melo. He's Banana Boat Melo.
Two-part for you and get you out of here on this one, Richmond. One, what is the most interesting part of this team? Mine, I want to see them jump. They were fourth. I think they were fourth from last defensively as a unit. We know what Nurkic and Zach can mean for them. So I want to see what that is. What is your most interesting thing you're looking for when you watch them today? And then also, what's your prediction? What do they end up doing by the end of the 8 games?
Okay. My most interesting thing is how Hassan Whiteside deals with a new role. I think we kind of obsessed over Hassan Whiteside, the sort of body language king, for a lot early in the season, and he has another chance to accept a new role. And for me, it's not just whether he can be play next to Nurk, it's whether he can play off the bench and be a star as a role player, something he hasn't really done in his career. But if he can, he can be really helpful. Hmm. And that means that my prediction is that they go 5-3 and they make the play-in game.
Yes. Do they win?
No, because you got to win twice, and that would be beating Memphis probably three times in the course of 3 weeks, and that seems hard.
All right, well, there's the guy to just rain on the parade, but leave it to him. He's one of our favorites. Mike Richmond, Locked On Blazer podcast. Give him a follow. He's covered the Blazers for years now. He's a good friend of the show. He's on Twitter, at Mike G. Rich as well. Richmond, 15 minutes away. Thanks for hopping on, man, and enjoy the action today.
Yeah, see y'all at Phase 6.
He's buying into Skinny Mellow, baby.
Now,
let's go.
He is and he isn't.
Skinny Mellow.
Also telling us he hasn't been good at small forward in seven years.
No, but he wasn't skinny then. Now he's skinny, hence why buying a Skinny Mellow.
Do you think he really looks all that different? Like, I know he's lost weight, but like people act like he lost like 70 pounds.
Well, he didn't. Yeah, I mean, it's not quite that. He wasn't obese to begin with. He does look different. Look, and also, I mean, the news that came out during the interview, this is the right starting lineup. They've rumored it from time to time, but these are the guys that need to start.
This is what your team is next year.
Exactly.
These starting five, this is your team.
And that's the one thing I think, positive or negative, that we can take out of these eight games together is how does this starting lineup gel? Maybe Melo's there next year, maybe not, but the other four undoubtedly will be there. I thought the point there at the end, though, for Mike was a good one. How does Hassan Whiteside embrace his role? He is a guy that has a bit of Mellow in him. He wants to start. He wants to be a prominent player. He can pout from time to time when he's sitting on the bench. If he's playing limited minutes, if he's not getting a lot of touches in the offense, if Nurkic is looking good, do you get a pouty backup center that then affects your second unit? I think that's a big key for them.
All right, I want to talk about that more because I think you're hitting on something and the importance of starting these guys versus putting Hassan Whiteside in the starting rotation and leaving Zach on the bench. So we'll talk about that. And then also, what do you guys think is going to happen? We got 15 minutes till tip. What do you think is going to happen for Portland as they restart their season for eight games to fight for that playoff spot? Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more to share our thoughts. And you can send yours in at 503-250-1080. We're back with more on 1080 The Fan. All right, we are, we're about 13 minutes away. Blazers and Grizzlies at 1. Christian Cipollini is a sports trader for BetMGM. He's going to join us at the top of the hour. So right as Portland's tipping off, we'll get his thoughts on how sexy a pick Portland is for the degenerates out there.
I came close to winning my bet, man. I should have taken the Clippers on the point
the plus
spread,
five.
But I that was feeling good. When Paul George hit that three to tie it up, I had a chance. My dogs were barking, and then LeBron had to go LeBron on that last possession.
Well, I took both points. You just got to take the points.
I got to go big, man. I'm shooting for the moon here.
What's the money line difference
Come on,
between
roof,
that?
Roof. I'm barking, baby.
Was it plus 130 money line, plus 120 on the points?
Give me more dogs.
Give me a dog. Give me more dogs.
Something else to bear in mind as we await the return of Nurkic and Zach to the rotation. Portland about 18th in offensive rebounding percentage. I expect that to be a much higher. And now, obviously, this is compared to having 30 teams in the league versus the 22. But even if you were to go with just the 22 there, I can't fathom they were very much higher than that. I think they're going to add a huge element to the offensive rebounding side of things, which is going to be big for Dame, CJ, Gary Trent, got Mello, guys who are going to catch the ball and shoot. If you can get Collins Nurk to get on the boards, then you pair that with Whiteside coming off the bench, assuming he's not disgruntled. I think it's another element, not only defensively, but on the rebounding side of things, now that you have 3 7-footers.
Yeah, it's that would be big on the glass if they can get better in that regard. I think having Nurkic back after 4 months, basically, of extra rehab time, it's just huge for Portland. And, I thought Mike was pretty spot on. I've watched highlights and chunks of all their scrimmage games, and it's hard. You don't want to read too much into it. It's like watching preseason football. But there are some things that you can look for. And I think the main thing the Blazer fans wanted to see was, did Nurkic look healthy? Did he look like he was moving okay? Did he look like he was back to being his old self? And that has been a huge fear for me, leading into this restart, because you get guys with injuries like that, and it can take them a very long time to just look themselves on the court again. They can be impactful from time to time, but it usually takes a long time. And it might for Nurkic. I'm not going to get over my skis and say just because he looked healthy in three scrimmage games playing limited minutes that he's ready to go dominate again.
Also, Indiana didn't have Sabonis playing. Like, they were a little
depleted. It was a benefited matchup for him. But I think at least at the base level, he showed you what you wanted to see. He was moving good. He was diving on the floor. As Mike mentioned, he was hitting the boards. The field goal percentage wasn't great. That's going to come. That's just a little rust you got to shake off there. He was playing good defense. Like, he did all the little things that you wanted him to do, and now it's just about refining, and that's going to help them a ton.
All right, well, give me the prediction.
Ooh, okay. You want every game prediction?
No, what the hell?
Let's go game by game. No. By game by game.
Anybody that does that,
by game by game.
Stop it.
By game by game.
Just what is your feel?
You know, my friend says, okay, they got Memphis, and then
I think the Rockets.
They got Boston on Sunday, and then Houston, and Denver after that, the Clippers.
Looks like Boston.
I mean, my expectation is 5-3. Mm-hmm. I do think it'll be enough to get them into the play-in situation against Memphis.
Well, you only need to be within four to get that, right. So that's pretty conceivable.
And if you win today, you're 2.5 back at that spot, right? So that's a huge boost. You're half game up on New Orleans. The main reason I'm saying this, I think it's kind of joint. 50% of it is I do have optimism in the way Portland's going to look and play, just being healthy and trusting Damian Lillard. I think they are the, at least now, collectively, best of the teams chasing that 8 seed. And the other 50% of it is I just don't trust New Orleans. New Orleans shows you flashes it from time to time. Brandon Ingram, I thought, looked really good last night, but they're not playing Zion. They blew a 16-point lead to Utah, who looked atrocious on offense for chunks of that game. I took a nap last night, and I woke up. They were down 16. All of a sudden, Utah was winning. It's like, what the hell happened here? So it's a 50-50 split for me. I think they get that 9 seed. They don't quite chase Memphis, and I do think they win back-to-back games against a young Memphis team, and they'll get the 8 seed.
Let me ask you real quick, because we'll get to some basketball stuff after we talk with Christian Cipollini of BetMGM coming up here at the top of the hour. What did you make of both the games we saw? Now, I want to hold the Zion didn't play stuff. I do want to get to that today. But what did you just make of the back and forth between the two games? Momentum, teams coming from trailing, teams that were winning. Did you think there was any impact at all or anything that stood out to you in both those games with not having fans, actual home court, or did it feel kind of just like normal basketball to you?
The momentum thing is tough to answer. I want to see a few more games before I have a concrete answer on that.
Utah got momentum, right?
They did. Well, you could say New Orleans that early because they built a 16-point lead. I will give a major tip of the cap to the NBA. I thought it was incredible. It was a little weird at first, as it always is, watching a game without fans, but you kind of sink into a new normal in a flow of the game, and I thought they were great games, went down to the wire, final possession. You couldn't ask for a better opening night than that.
I didn't see too much of the first game. I was out running errands. But the second game, one, I thought there were a ton of fouls early on. The whistles, I mean.
The Clipper-Laker game had a lot of whistles.
Clunky early on.
Yeah. I mean, I know Scott Foster's on the crew, but come on, rein it in. Let him play
really
a little bit.
He really loved going to talk with the commentator area, too, didn't he?
Scott Foster loves himself some Scott Foster.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of once guys get comfortable shooting in those arenas, first half shooting was atrocious. Both the Lakers and Clippers then dialed it up in the second half. And once you start making threes, so if the Blazers, I think especially the first couple of games, what if a team gets hot collectively from outside, they have a chance to run away with early games.
You know, I was looking for this because I know I'm a bit of a broken record sometimes on things, but I do think the momentum part with no home court is, wow, what is that going to mean when the games matter? It kind of felt to me, it felt like watching like Iona, Wisconsin in a tournament game that's in San Jose. Like, there's always going to be, the bigger program will always send a couple fans, right? Like, Wisconsin would have a little cheering. But I was at the Portland tournament with Swag years ago. And there was one game, I think it was like Stephen F. Austin in Georgetown.
Right, no fans there.
And Georgetown, they had like a tiny contingent. But for the most part, like people just there were just there watching basketball.
Yeah.
And so like the energy wasn't quite what a Blazer game is or like an Oregon game would be. That's kind of what it felt like to me. It felt like watching two teams in a regional that are nowhere near where they play, and there's really no energy from the crowd. That's kind of just how I viewed and felt about last night's two games.
Yeah, the shooting note, by the way, in the Clippers, too, they ended up 16 to 36 from three. I believe they started 0 of 8 from three. So yeah, they ended up going 16 to 28 after that. They figured it out and got going. It might take some time. The one game that I'll always think back to, too, when I watch these on the like competitive nature of it without fans, they always say the best game that nobody's ever seen, there's only practice footage, is the Dream Team scrimmages. And watching Magic and MJ go back and forth, like that's what these kind of games are going to be. It's going to be about personal pride and trying to win. And I thought you saw that last night.
All right, we got a busy second hour. The Blazers will start. We've got some betting stuff to get to here at the top. Christian Cipollini is a sports trader for BetMGM. He'll join us next. How does he view them as a sexy pick, the Blazers? We'll talk some betting and NBA basketball with Christian Cipollini of BetMGM. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more on Radio.com and 1080 The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.